the bottom of Gimel Mishnah. So, as we learned earlier, someone who gets an aliyah to the Torah has to read at least three psukim. Someone who gets an aliyah and reads the Torah should not read less than three psukim. No fewer than three psukim. Part of the Turgaman, when we say that he has to read no fewer than three psukim, that means that in its entirety, three psukim. But for each pasuk, he should stop and wait for the Meturgaman to be Metargim. Because if he reads three psukim, the Meturgaman then has to memorize three psukim to translate, and there is the greater likelihood that he'll mistranslate or misstate something. So after every pasuk, he stops and waits for the Meturgaman. Ubinavi, when it comes to the Haftarah, Shleisha, he can read three psukim and allow the Meturgamon to be Metargim three psukim, because when it comes to Theta, if he makes a mistake, if the Meturgamon makes a mistake, so it's going to be a mistake in Theta, it might be a mistake in Halacha, mistake in the fundamental understanding. However, when it comes to Nevi'im, as we said earlier, for the most part, it's the very mutar or stories, and so at worst, there will be a misunderstanding of the mutar or of the story. What happens if the three psukim that we said that you can read together in the Haftarah happen to be three different parshiyas? Then you have to read them individually and wait for the translator to translate to each pasuk on its own. Now, in fact, there is no such thing in Nach that there are three parshiyas and three psukim. So, as the Gemara is going to explain, that we don't mean here three parshiyas, we mean three psukim that speak about three different things. Because, in fact, there is no such occurrence in Nach that there are three psukim that are three parshiyas. Medalgin benavi, mei medalgin b'teda. You can skip in the hafteda. In other words, if you want to read one idea, then you want to read some other things in the navi. You want to skip from one place to another. One may do so, but one may not do that by kriyas hafteda. And we're going to modify this rule in the Gemara. Va'ad kama, and how much can you skip? How far can you skip in the Navi? Ad kadesh le'yusekam etargamon, so that you can get to the new place before the metargamon, before the translator finishes translating what it is that he's translating. So, you have to remember that in the old days, and even today in Yerushalayim, they have them, they read the Haftarah from a cloth, from a scroll. So, scroll rolled up. And so they would have to turn from one place to the next in the Nevi'im. Because they had the whole Nevi'im, excuse me, in one big cloth. So you have to roll the parchment, and so you have to be able to get there before the Metargamon finishes, because otherwise, as we said earlier, there's a problem not so much of Hefzik, but a problem of Terchit Yisiborah. Sahani Gimel Psukim. The Gemara says these three psukim connected to me. We said again earlier we had an explanation of this, but now we have it in the Mishnah that an aliyah has to be no fewer than three psukim. Tahani gimel psukim, these three psukim of an aliyah connected to me, corresponding to whom was it instituted? Amar Rav Asi, or Rav Asi says connected to Teri Nevi'im Ksuvim. This was correspond to the Teri Nevi'im Ksuvim. And earlier we said Kayim Levi Yisrael as well as, but here we bring down just the rule of Teri Nevi'im Ksuvim. The lo yikari the Meturgamon yesim pasuk echad. You should not read to the Meturgamon, not read one more than one pasuk for the Meturgamon to translate. Ubin Navi. When it comes to the Nevi'im, when it comes to Haftarah, Gimel Psukim. So we said that a Navi, one who's reading the Navi, the one who's reading the Haftarah, can read three Psukim at a time and allow the translator to translate three Psukim at a time. If the three psukim with these three different parshias, kere echot echot, then he has to read, even when it comes to hapteri, he has to read one pasuk at a time to allow the translator to translate. Because we say that at most a translator can translate three psukim at a time if it's one idea. But if it's three different ideas, then he's going to get confused. So now the Gemara is going to say, Kigoyim, where do we find such an example that you have three parshias in Nevi'im? In fact, there is no such occurrence of three parshias in Nevi'im. So we say, no, it doesn't mean three different parshias, it means three different ideas, as follows. We find an instance where we have Psukim, Kikoy Amar Hashem Chinem Nimkartem. Hashem says that to the Yidden that just like when you were sent into Golos, you were sent into Golos, so the Teichacha says you'll be sold into slavery and there won't be anyone to buy you. You'll be given away into slavery. So just like you were given away into slavery, so when I come to redeem you, I will redeem you without paying the people from whom I am taking you out of exile. So I'm taking you out of their country and I'm not going to pay them. And then the next pasuk is Kikoy Amar Hashem Lekim Esrayim Yared Imi Bereshena. Va'atam Kikoy Amar Hashem Lekim Esrayim Yared Imi Bereshena Va'atam Ali Peinu Hashem. So you have three pasukim. That second pasuk is that he went to Kikoy Amar Hashem Lekim Esrayim Yared Imi. That he went down to Mitzrayim and when he went down to Mitzrayim that time. When you went to Mitzrayim, the first time you went into Golos, and the Mitzrayim, for the most part, provided for your basic needs. The most part that they were in Golos Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim took care of them. But
what is wrong with this?
Gave them basic needs, but when you went into Asher, they gave you no food, no clothing, nothing. They didn't take care of you at all. And the third pasuk is that when he went into Golos, when he went to Golos with Asher, so and then the other Golos, and when he went into exile, so the your captors, they said that they were the ones, it was their koyach that took them, that prevailed and were victorious over the Yidden, and that the Chilul Hashem, so Hashem says, I will take you out of Golos because of the Chil, to prevent the Chilul Hashem.
That's Malifei?
Yeah. Medalgim b'Navi, ve'im medalgim b'Teda. You can skip in Navi, ve'im medalgim b'Teda, and you cannot skip in the Navi, but not in Teda. That's what we said, that you can skip around. But in Nini, as we find actually in the Teda, we do this all the time. Like if you have Shabbos or Shchedesh, so you have Teda skipped. Then you say, v'hayim yideichay chedesh v'chotshei, sometimes you skip to the next parsha of the of the Navi, the next parak. But in Nini, the Gemara says, how can you say that you're not medalig b'teda when we find an instance that, in fact, we know that you are medalig in b'teda? It says that on Yom Kippur, during the Yom Kippur, Achrei Meis, the Kohen Gadol reads Achrei Meis, the whole parsha of Achrei Meis. He reads about the dinim of Yom Kippur in the beginning of Achrei Meis. The righteous Achrei Meis name is the Yadin. It says the avodah of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And then afterwards he reads Va'ach Ba'Oser, and then he reads the parsha of Va'ach Ba'Oser, which we read also Va'Hakam Mitali. So there, the parsha of Va'ach Ba'Oser is not right after by Achrei Meis. Welcome to Dalek, and he's skipping. So Amar Abaya, so we see that you do skip by Torah. So Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, like Kasha, so Kasha Khan, the Kadesha Yipse, Khan, the Torah, come on. When do we say that you can skip in the Torah is when he can finish before the Mitargim Mon finishes translating the prior Pasuk? The Khan, the Kadesha Yipse, Khan, the Torah, come on. And here's talking about when in our Mishnah, is saying that you cannot skip is when you can't finish before the Mitargim is Mitargim that pasuk.
Means you have time.
In other words, if you can turn the Sefer Torah, if you can go to the Sefer Torah, if it's possible, you want to be good, read from before the Metargeman is going to finish the last pasuk that you so you read in a pasuk. Now the Metargeman is being Metargeman, and while he's being Metargeman, so that you don't have any hafsek and you don't have kechitzit sipura, if you can get to that new spot, that then you can do it.
Now they get to sitaris.
So the Gemara asks here a question. But this was in the same aliyah for the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is aliyah. The Kohen Gadol read the whole Kriya of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara asks, how could you say such a thing? How could Abaye say such an answer when our Mishnah says clearly that you can't do that? The Mishnah says that by Navi you can scroll ahead so long as you get to the new spot before the Metargamon finishes the Targum, and you can't do that by Kriyas HaTorah. And here Abaye says exactly the same thing by Kriyas HaTorah as the Mishnah said that you can do by Navi, that the Mishnah then says he can't do by Kriyas HaTorah. So look at time of the Navi name, the Dalgum HaTorah. Then that's by nothing. So we see that by Kriyas HaTorah you can't do it at all. So Abaye answered, no, you didn't understand. The Mishnah is talking about where you want to skip from one Inyan to another Inyan. Want to skip from one Inyan to another Inyan, you can do that in nothing. You don't have to have the same topic, like what we do when we want to switch from the Torah of the Shabbos to the Torah of Erev Rosh Chodesh, you have something that you want to skip to, and it's not the same topic. But then, if you can do that before the Metargamon finishes, you can do it in two different topics. So there's no limitation to what you can read in the Haftarah. So long as you can get to the new spot before the Metargamon concludes the prior pasuk, you can read whatever it is that you want to read in Navi. But by Kriyas HaTorah, it has to be that you can, two conditions have to be met. One is that you can get to the new spot before the Metargamon concludes, and it has to be the same topic.
Same topic, but here it's not the same topic.
No, well, it's also about the 10th day of Tishrei, the same thing, okay. about the Karbonis of Yom Kippur. We're not talking about now some other topic, we're talking about the Avodah of Yom Kippur.
So in other words, we change the rule. I'm saying we cannot jump from one topic to another, and we say we can as long as the two topics are the same.
Yeah. And still provided that
in
that
timeless fashion, right?
Now, if you go back to the Mishnah and you look, you'll see, if you read it carefully, the Mishnah doesn't say exactly what you can't do by Kriyas HaTorah. It just says, that you don't do that by Kriyas HaTorah. They in the Dalgim the Torah. You don't skip by Torah. But it's not saying exactly what, because there it says you can be medallic until you finish, and here it says you don't do it by Kriyas HaTorah. Now the mission, now the Gemara is just adding in that's talking about that what you could do by Navi that you can't do by Kriyas HaTorah is skip from Minyan to Inyan.
But Abaye is giving this new interpretation.
But Tanya. Now the word "medalgim b'teira" usually means a question. Here it doesn't mean a question. Here it means a proof to what we said. Now we're going to bring a proof to what Abaye said. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi always tells us when v'hatanya is going to be not a question. Usually v'hatanya is b'tmiya, and here it says v'hatanya b'nichusa. V'hatanya, we learn in Hebrew, "medalgim b'teira" meaning echad of the navi b'shtei inyanim. That you can be metallic in the Torah only if it's the same inyan, or benavi b'shnei inyan, and in the navi it could be even in two different topics. In each instance, the proviso is that you are able to conclude the bingoilo before the metargamon is metargamon. Tani Idach, we learn elsewhere, another Braisa, another rule, since we're talking about being medalic. You're not allowed to be medalic from one Navi. You can't read the beginning in Yeshua and the next in Shaifin. Even if it's the reading at the end of Yeshua, you won't be able to switch to Shaifin. It has to be in the same Navi. However, the Navi shall Shneim Asar is considered to be what, even though the 12 Nevi'im, but it's considered one Sefer, and so you can skip around from one Sefer to the next Sefer in Shneim Asar.
What is it exactly?
Shneim Asar is the 12 Nevi'im, like Yonah and Habakkuk and Zechariah.
Mm-hmm. Are they considered?
That's considered one Sefer.
Equivalent.
So we do
No, it's all in the same. You can be medallic, but only forward. You can't go backwards. So you can, if you can go from the beginning of a Sefer to the end of a Sefer, but not from the end of a Sefer to the beginning of a Sefer.
I don't know how to say this, but I guess that's how we do it.
Yeah. Hamafir b'Navi, who played this al Shana? Now, today, everybody wants Machfir. When you tell the Aliyahs, So Yisrael will go 10 times Kai, and Master, 100 times Kai. Everybody's running for Master. The Yema, pay $100,000. In the old days, Master was considered the throwaway. It was the bothersome Aliyah. Nobody wanted Master. Everybody wanted Koyim, Levi, Yisrael. They didn't want Master. In fact, you have to get up, you have to pray to Amafir b'Navi, who paid this Rosh Hashanah. So now, the person who is getting the Mafir, so he is getting, he's like the Sheikh Engel, so he feels slighted. So in order to recompense, to pay back, to give him something, a reward for going up the Mafir, so we give him something else in exchange. To give him some cover. Now, Mafir b'Navi, who paid this al Shema? The one who says the Mafir, the one who always says the Mafir, who paid this al Shema? He's the one who should go up and be paid this al Shema, as we explained yesterday with paid this al Shema. Who over l'pnei ha'teva? And he also, if it's with his Zeda, his Abnenian, so he goes to the Amud. Who knows he has Kapov, and he does Pirchas Koyim. So what does it mean that he does Birchas Koyanim? Everybody does. All Koyanim. If he's a Koyan, no. We're saying that if today we don't do Birchas Koyanim, but in the time of the did Birchas Koyanim, Bashachas, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Yerushalayim, and they do Birchas Koyanim. So if they're doing, if you go to the Koyanim, they're doing Birchas Koyanim every morning. So, but all the Koyanim are doing Birchas Koyanim. What do you mean that if he's a Koyan, he does Birchas Koyanim? Well, obviously it's talking about we're talking about in a case where we're talking about a koyin. We're talking about real birchas koyin. Who knows his kapha means that he's saying birchas koyin. So he's saying birchas koyin. What the king am I saying birchas koyin? So what's he saying? So you're giving him ice in the winter. So there's several answers that are suggested to this. One is, as you were saying, what happens if he's the chazan? So now there's a rule that if a koyin damages for the omid and there's other koyinim, he shouldn't say birchas koyinim, because the koyin then has to, by birchas koyinim, he has to turn around and he has to say birchas koyinim, and then he has to turn back around and continue. And that's confusing, especially in the old days when they had no system, they had to do things all day, which is likely that you get confused. And so we say only someone who's very confident that he can continue without confusing himself should do that. So generally we say you shouldn't do such a thing. So in this instance, when we're lenient and we say that if he's going to the Amud, that he went to the master, so, and he's a Kayin, so if you tell him that he can't do Birchas Chayim, then he won't be able to go to the Amud, he won't be able to go to the Amud, so he'll feel slighted if he goes to the master. So we say, okay, you can go to the Amud, even though there's this technical problem of confusion, we'll hope that you won't get confused. Others say that what happens if he is not an adult, an adolescent of sufficient age that his beard has grown, and so there's a rule that someone who's from the time of Bar Mitzvah until his Mismala Ziknase, so they didn't let him go to do Birchas Kainim by himself. He would have to go with somebody else. So in this case, we say he can go up for Birchas Kainim because this is to pay him back for taking the master. Well, who knows his kapha? What happens? Now, we said that the one who does master could be a kapha. So what happens if he's a kapha? So now this kapha is not going to be able to go to the Amid, and he's also not going to be able to be He's not going to be able to go to the Amid. He's not going to be able to be in the Yishikasa by himself. The Tatan can't go up for Birchas Kainim by himself. So who gets the reward for the Machbir that this Tatan must take? So we say that his father or his Rebbe goes up instead of him to the Amid. Now, the Gemara is going to say, what's the special reward of going to the Amid? It's going to be a machlik is what the reward is about going to the Amid. But this reward for being able to go to the Amid, that passes over to his father or to his Rebbe. Now, in this case, we say father before Rebbe because this is the Indian of Yerusha, so a father comes before the Rebbe. Cotton Keda Beteda or Metargen. A cotton could read the Torah and certainly could be Metargen. Read the Torah, so then certainly he is permitted to be Metargen, because that's a lesser stature of the ascended. But he can't go up to be paid as Shema, because then you have to say Kaddish, you have to be made to the Elam, and he can't be made to the Elam. So the Mepharshim explained that there's a difference here between Paydus HaTeja and Paydus HaShema. Why do we say that a Katan can't go to the Amit, but a Katan could be the Seder? What's the difference? In each instance, the Olam has to be Yetza, so what's the difference between being Yetza and being Yetza, whatever it is that the Katan is going to the Amit for? You say like this, when it comes to Davin to the Amit, it's the Olam being Yetza, the reading that the Katan is reading, and since he's a Katan, can't be Maitzi there. Like Kriya Satera, the mitzvah is not the kriya tateira. The mitzvah really is the hearing. So you're not being yaita with his kriya. You're being yaita with your own shmiya tateira. It's not really kriya tateira, it's the shmiya tateira. So the fact that it's a cotton who's reading it is irrelevant. It's someone reading the tateira and you are hearing. That's the mitzvah.
You say, let the cotton go over. No problem. We have our stuff.
Nevertheless, the din is that a kotten, you have to use, since the chachamim were mesaken, chazar sashat, etc., so you have to give the chazar sashat. It's the mitzvah, it's not the shat being placed there. It's not the mitzvah of hearing chazar sashat, it's the mitzvah of chazar sashat. It's the chazar of the shat, and that's what the olam is being yaita, and it can't be yaita the mitzvah chazar sashat unless he is a shliach who is a gadol. The Ene Avera Lefnei Achevin, certainly he can't go to the Amit, the Ene Nesis Kapach, and he can't do Birchas Tehillim by himself. He can go together for chinuch reasons, the Kapach can go with his father, or with the oil, with the Tehillim who are going up for Birchas Tehillim. Pecheyach, someone who has his legs are uncovered, Pedis Shema, he can go over and say the Pedis Shema. On the Targim, and he can be metargim, since it's not such a kavodik job. But he's not allowed to go read the Torah one while his legs are in short pants. He can't. Mm-hmm. He can't go in short.
The cotton foot stood up.
No. We're talking about now an adult.
Right, but a cotton foot read the Torah, but he can't say Shema. Here, the guy with sports could do Shema, but he can't read the Torah.
Yeah. Because Kriyas HaTorah is a kavod. And it's not called that Tzibur that he should go and read when he's wearing shorts. The Eina Eber Lefnei Teva, and he also can't go to the Amit. He can go say Per Shema, but he can't be the Shliach Tzibur. The Eina Nisa is Kapav and can't go and Duchen with short pants. Suma, a blind person, Peiret Shema. He can do it better to Shema, or Metargim, and he can do Metargim. Obviously, he can't read the Torah because he's blind. So today, let's speak about getting a blind person in Aliyah today, where the Eilu L'Torah is not reading the Torah anyway, he's only reading Berchas HaTorah, and so perhaps a blind person could get an Aliyah. But you would the Eilu L'Torah is Shema if he's blind. Why can't he be paid as a Shema? He knows by heart. He knows the Shema, so he's saying it by heart.
Yeah,
so now we're going to have an opinion that he can't. If he was blind from birth, any paid as a Shema, he can't say the paid as a Shema because we have a bracha in the. One of the brachas is Yitzad Hamo'edim. We say that Hashem created the light. In other words, it's sort of a Birchas Hanenin that you're thanking Hashem for creating the sun and the stars by which we can and moon by which we can navigate. So he's blind. He never saw it. So he never has to know. If he once saw it, he could be thankful for the time that he had. If he never had such a Rabbi Yehuda, then he can't. Say the Pei Tzitzis Shema. The Nara can't tell from Amit, he can't be Pei Tzitzis Shema. What's the reason? So the Papa says, Mishum Kavod, because of Kavod. But Abu Bar Shimi Amar, Mishum the Asir Bantu. This that we said earlier in the Mishnah, that you give a reward to the person who said the Maftir, what's the reason that you give him this reward? Why are you giving him a reward? So why does Mishum Kavod? You slighted him by giving him the Maftir, so now you give him a Kavod to make him feel better. Rabbi Bar Shimi Amar Mishum the Afilin Suyi, because he's going to come to have a quarrel. Now, what does it mean that he's going to come to have a quarrel? The Maftir, who got sent up, today we have a similar situation. The Balkira gets paid. The Maftir doesn't get paid. In those days, the Shlich Tzibur got paid, the Maftir would get paid. So, it would be a quarrel. So you send me to Maftir, you send me for the Haftarah, send me to the Amit. Give me the free. You give me the Tircha, you don't give me the Amit. Why don't you give me the Amit? And you give him the Haftarah. So come to our quarrel. So we say, okay, you said the Haftarah. You get the Amit. You'll get the money too. So the Gemara asks my Benai, what's the difference between the two opinions? Well, might not give me. Who cares whether the reason is because of COVID or the reason is because of the reward? Our answer is Kinenai is all the Bechina. What happens in the shul with it is they don't pay for either. They don't pay for the Maftir, they don't pay. for Dhamma Padamata. Now, if it's because of Lilitsuya, because of the quarrel, no one's going to quarrel. No one's going to say, oh, you sent me Padamata, and now send me up Padamata also. But if we're talking about because of Kavit, so the Kavit of Dhamma Padamata is a greater Kavit than the Tircha of being sent off for Haftedah. Send me Padamata. Then, the Im Hoya Katan, so we learned in the Mishnah, if he's a Katan, that his father or his Rebbe go up in his stead to Dam Tara Amid or the other rewards. So now, he Amid Mishum Nitsuya, if the reason is because of quarreling, Katan by Nitsuya, who is the Katan going to go and argue that he should have been sent to the Amid? First of all, he's a Katan. Second of all, he's a Katan, he can't down for Amit. He's a kid, he's not going to quarrel. And second, even if he could quarrel, he can't go to Amit. So what's he quarreling about? LMI, so what is it, Mishum Kavit? So you're going to say that, so what do you want to prove from here? That it's, the reason is because of Kavit. So Katan by Kavit, is the Katan someone who we're concerned about his honor, that we care about, that, oh, he's going to feel slighted? He's a Katan. He's supposed to feel slighted. So we say, no, Elikah Kavit Aviv Kavit Rabbi. There's the Kavit of his father and the Kavit of his Rabbi. That's who we're concerned about. And that's why it goes over this reward, this Kavit goes to the father of the Rabbi, because that's whose Kavit we're concerned about. And Nami, so the one who said that because of Insuye, because of quarreling, so then we're afraid of the same thing that his Rebbe or his father will say, you sent my kid, you sent my student to do that Seder, and for free, you want freebies over here. You pay, just like you sent him to do the work, now you're going to pay me to go to the Amid. Someone who is bare-legged can go over and be paid as Oshema. So, Ula Barav asked from Abaya a question. How about a cotton who is bare-legged? Can he read the Teda? Now, we said earlier in the Mishnah that Nikir Adin, a cotton can read the Teda. So, what happens if he is bare-legged? So Rashi explains what's the question. So the question is that only an adult, really, the pasuk that says Le'irich b'cha ervas dovar, that you shouldn't see erva, is referring to an adult. By a katan, this doesn't apply. So the question here is the problem kavod hatzibur, or is the problem here that Le'ir b'chai erves tov? Amar Le'ir, so he said, if you're really asking the question, so why don't you ask it in its fullest extent? If you buy a lach, to ask if a child can go and read the Torah while stark naked. If that's your question, so why are you asking if he has shorts on? Ask him if he has no pants on at all. So, clearly, you're not asking, can the cotton go and lean from the Torah when he's stark naked? Part of my time, like, what's the reason why he can't go and stark naked? Mishum kavod tzibur, because of the kavod of the tzibur. Hachadan, mishum kavod tzibur. So here also, wearing shorts is not kavod tzibur. We said an adult can't do it because of kavod tzibur. So a child can't do it because of kavod tzibur. Summa. Yeah, no, I'm saying. So that, what's the reason? Why didn't you yourself anticipated what the answer is? Because if you had thought that it was really about La'ir B'chai Erva Sabar, you would have asked the Shaila in its extreme form. You would have asked, how about a child going without any pants on? But you didn't ask that. Why? Because it was clear to you that a child is not wearing any pants, so you're not going to send them to them. Why? Because it's not covered tibur. So you understand that there's a problem here of not just La'ir B'chai Erva Sabar, there's a problem of covered tibur. So if we're concerned about kavod hatzibur, so then it stands to reason that you didn't send the adult because of kavod hatzibur, and you don't send the naked child because of kavod hatzibur, so you won't send the child with short pants because of kavod hatzibur. Summa, Peiros El Shema. A blind person can be Peiros El Shema. So now we said that Rabbi Yehuda said that someone who never saw at all, someone who was born blind, so he can't be Peiros El Shema because he can't say the Bracha of Yitzan Ameiros and be made to the Eilam with the Bracha of Yitzan Ameiros. Tanya, Amru El Rabbi Yehuda, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, you know that there are many people who darshan, they sought the darshan about the Merkava, and we sent them up even by the Haftarah. You read the Haftarah of them about the Merkava. The later is in the Mayhem. They never saw the Merkava. So now you're saying the blind person can't go up against the Meredith because he never saw the Meredith. When you say the Aseda of Yecheskel, or your darshan about Yecheskel, they never saw the Merkava. So how do you send them up to say something that they about something they never saw? So Rabbi Yehuda answers, or Rabbi Yehuda Hakam Bavan said the Libatali. When it comes to the Merkava, it's true you never saw it. But we're talking about understanding. You're darshaning about something that you understand. You understand the concept. Some an architect can look at blueprints and tell you about the building without actually having seen it. Because he could study the Maisa Merkava, and he can come to comprehend it and see it in his mind's eye. But so that even though he didn't see it, he can still talk about it. He knows what he's talking about. This is the Yitzhak Marius is a Birchat Hanenim. And he doesn't have the Hanah. He's saying thank you for something that you never appreciated. So understanding can understand, but why would you say thank you for something that you never appreciated? Well, let's say Hanah. He knows that he never appreciated. We say that he could go for Kedush Shema because we say that, in fact, he does have Hanah. A blind person does have Hanah.
Even
can Rabbi Yossi, as Rabbi Yossi said, a story of Tanya, we didn't know, but I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Kol Yomai Hayisi Mitzad Al Mikra." I always wondered and tried to interpret this pasuk, and I had no explanation for it. Well, Yossi Mashish Mitzadayim Kasher Mashish Sheiru Ba'Pela. It says in the Teichicha that you'll be walking around the middle of the afternoon, passing your way, trying to find your way about, as a blind person passes around in the middle of the night. So now, Rabbi Yossi says, I never understood that pasuk. The odd pasuk. Chima ichbis leili iver beinafelo leida. We say you will walk around in the mid-afternoon, passing your way like a blind person in the middle of the night. A blind person, if it would be in the middle of the day, is also passing his way. Why does the pasuk say like in the middle of the night? What difference is it to the blind person if it's day or night? Until it happened once that this occurred. I was once walking in a very dark night, and I saw a blind person, and he was walking on the road, and he had a torch. So I said to this blind person, Bini, my son, what are you doing with a torch? So he said to me, so long as I have the torch in my hand, so people see, they see me. They see me, and if they see me going into a dangerous situation, they'll push me out of the way. So if they see me falling into a pit, they'll steer me away. If they see me going into thorns, they'll set me straight. So even a blind person has hanah from the fact that there is a sun in the day and a moon at Toyin Jiesh Biyodov Mumin Toyin, who has blemishes on his hand, and the Gemara is going to say not just on his hand, but on his face and his legs, Lo Yisas Kata. He should not go up to Duch. If Yehuda Oymer, if Yehuda says, Ah, Mish, Ahoy Yodov, even someone whose hands are dyed red, well, he says, top option, go up with the Hasanim, Nesha of Mistakim, because the congregation will stare at his hands. So there's two explanations given for what's the problem with the guy stare at his hands. So one explanation is that we're really particularly concerned about staring at the hands. And that is because the Shekhinah rests on the hands of the Kohanim, and so it causes blind. So then the question that's only in the Beis HaMikdash, but I would say that there's a difference between the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, Shekhinah dwells in greater intensity than by Berachas Kohanim, but in some extent, the Shekhinah dwells on the hands of the Kohanim at any time, and so gazing at the Shekhinah causes dimming of the eyes of the eyes. So we don't want the congregation to be staring at the Kohen, because if he has a blemish, it's going to cause them to stare, and then it's going to cause their eyes to diminish. Others say that no, that the explanation here is that after the Beis HaMikdash, not, we don't have this concern. But the concern is that if they're staring at something, they're not paying attention to the Berachas Kohanim, and they have to pay attention to the Berachas Kohanim. Tana, we learned Mum Shamru, the fun of Yad Beraglav, that it's not just the hands, but the face, the hands, and the feet. Because if they're staring at the feet, they'll end up staring at the hands, according to the one that says that it's because of the Shekhinah, and if not, it's because they're going to be staring at something and not paying attention. Amr ibn Shua ben Levi, says, Yodav by Hakim Layisa, of someone who has white spots like a leopard, he has like a leopard spot, white spots on his hands, so he shouldn't go in the Hani Nani Haki. He learns also Bryson, such a man, Yodav by Hakim Layisa, he shouldn't go and do so. Someone whose hands are bent forward, or bent backwards, or bent sideways, he shouldn't do it. Amr Abasi, Sir Abasi said, Tefoni Obishini, someone who is from Haifa, from Beishon, Leisus Kapov, he shouldn't go and do it, because they don't pronounce the words properly. And you have to pronounce the words of Berachas Kohanim properly. Tanya and Hachi, and then the Brice in the same manner. Amid Eden with me a table, you don't send. The here's talking about not to Berachas Kohanim, but to go to the Amid. Loi Anche Beishan, Loi Anche Beis Haifa. You don't send people from Beishan and from Beis Haifa. Loi Anche Tivayim, and not people from Tivayim. Nei Shepenim Alton, Ayin and Alayin in the Alton, because they confuse Alice and Ayins and Ayins and Alice. Now, of course, today we don't really distinguish between Alice and Ayins, so anyone can go to the Alice. Amr le Reb Chiya, Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, Reb Chiya said to Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, said to him as follows, Il moli acha Levi, if you would be a Levi, you're not a Levi, but if you had been a Levi, so you should know that you have a mum. Also, acha min aduchim, you wouldn't be able to go up and sing with the Levim, shum da avikar, because you have a deep voice. And it's not in a normal voice. Also, Amr Leila voice. He came to his father. Shimon Bar Rebbe came to his father. Rebbe Amr Lei, and he told him the story. And Amr Lei, so Rebbe said to him, "Zil Emele, go back to Chia, and say to him, Kesha'ata Megia Eitzel V'Chikisi LaHashem. When you'll come to the pasuk V'Chikisi LaHashem, Lo Yimtzis Mecharef Megadet. You should be very careful that you shouldn't be Mecharef Megadet, because he couldn't say a ches. Chia, he had difficulty saying a ches, so he would say the Hikisi. The Hikisi means I'll hit instead of I'll be Mechake. I'll wait. So Tosha says that we find that in fact that Rebbe sends Chia to the Amud. And so how do you send them to the Amid? So, because he saw that their Chia would be, his prayers would be answered, he sent them to the Amid. How do you send them if he can't say the Ches? So he says that Chia could say a Ches. Chia's name was Chia. But he could say a Ches, but he had to concentrate to say the Ches, and so he thinks, be careful when you come to the Chikis. Amar Rav Huna said, Zavligan, someone whose eyes hear all the time, but he says, he shouldn't go and look because people are going to stare at him. Or ask, there was someone who was here, and he lived in the neighborhood of the Kona, and he would go up and go in. He was someone who lived in the town, and everybody knew him, and so everyone was used to it, so it wasn't going to cause anyone to stare. In a similar vein, if someone is blind in one eye, he shouldn't go and do him. Same thing. He was someone in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yechon, the Halapadis, he would go up and do him, even though he was blind in one eye. So the Gemara answers, who does be they have? He was born with Houston, he wasn't going to cause anyone to scare. Same thing we learned. Some of us men only just half of them are Yiddish kidding. What? He said that someone who his hands are colors shouldn't go in the dark. Now we say, Tanya. If most people in the town have the same job and their hands are all dyed, so then he can go up and look. Now, presumably, the Gemara doesn't here explain why wouldn't we just say that Dashpi'ire, he's living, everyone's doing it, and he's Dashpi'ire. So we say, presumably, it's talking about even someone who's a stranger who came in, whose hands are dyed the same color as everyone else's hands, even though he's not Dashpi'ire. No one's going to stare because their hands are all the same. So he's from the next town, and they don't know him. They're still not going to stare because their hands are.
Everyone
looks good. So, Ha'imed, someone who says, I'm not going to go down to the Amid because it's when I'm half colored clothes, and I only go to the Amid when I'm wearing white. So after the Levainim Le'yavar, so the next time when he comes and he's wearing white, you don't send him to the Amid either. You don't allow him to go to the Amid because we're afraid, since Rashi, that the Gemara's going to explain also, but Rashi explains a little bit more in detail that in the old days and even today, you have the Galachim which wear a real white. We're afraid that the early Christians, the Jews, that we're afraid he's an early Christian, and some of the early Christians had kept some of the mitzvahs. So we're afraid that maybe he's converted to Christianity, and so we don't send him to Kedamah. And the same thing, if he says the sandal, if he says, I'm not going to the Amid because I'm wearing sandals, and the Eber Afi Yaka, then he doesn't go even when he's barefoot. Well, Yavad, he shouldn't go to the Amid even when he's barefoot. Someone who makes his fill-in round, you should know that that's a sakana. It's not, you're not yaitzah the mitzvah. The aim of this is not tefillah. Two are tefillah. One is a tefillah. Singular of filling and
filling.
He made it into a ball shape. He decided that I was going to be different. Going to be innovative. I'm going to make round till. So you should know it's a takata. And there's no mitzvah. No, it's not a mitzvah. What happens if he puts it on his forehead instead of on the top of his head? Or he puts his tzilin shel yad on his hand instead of on his arm. This is the derech of minin. Min doesn't believe in the chachamim. Now, if you look in the Torah, the Torah actually says between your eyes. It's between your eyes, and it says al yadcha on your hand, not on your. And the chachamim say it means on top of your head, and al yadcha means derech aleph. So he says he doesn't believe in the words of the Chachamim. He's a heretic. Tipon zahav. What happens if he covers the tefillin in gold? The nasna al beis unkeli shalei, or someone who decides to put it over his fleece. That is a derechitzayin. He's a person who is a chitin. He's not listening to the words of the Chachamim. So
what would be which word? I just put the outside.
No, so here's the point. when it comes to putting it between your eyes and putting it on your hand, so we say he's a min. We're saying that he's decided that he's going to interpret the pasuk the way he wants to interpret it and disregard what the Chacham say. So there, he's a heretic because he's going after, he's saying, I look at the pasuk, see what the pasuk says, and I hear what he's saying, and I don't care what he's saying. When it comes to Tzipon Zahav, so it's not, he's not saying the pasuk says that it should be gold. He's not saying that the pasuk says to put it over his sleeve. He's just not listening to the words of the Chachamim, that the Chachamim said that the tefillin should be or and it should be black, and even though it's not halachah mishum sinai that the pious has to be black, the tzuris has to be black, but that's what the Chachamim say. It's not you don't make this gold, and you don't put it over your sleeve because it says by the sleeve it says ohayu lechol, and so we say lechol is. The shaliyat is for you and not for others. So you're putting it over your sleeve, that's showing you wiping it over your sleeve. So if the others will put it under your sleeve, it's for you. So the Gemara asks, my time, why is it that we say at the beginning of the Mishnah that if somebody says, I'm not going to go sandals to the Amid, that we don't know to go to the Amid that time, and not even in the future. Maybe he became a min. And Rashi says that we're afraid that he has converted to Christianity. Someone who makes his tefillin round, sakana. The imba mitzvah, and there's no mitzvah. So what does it mean that there's a kana and there's no mitzvah? So you say that it's a kana since it's round. If it's completely round and he bumps his head in the door, it's going to cause major injury. When you have flat filling, so the flatness is going to dissipate the force of whatever it is that you hit. It's going to cause slight injury, but you get a